Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Rachel, exclusively on LA Talk Radio.
And we're back at you. Good morning. It's Monday, October 16th. We're back in the saddle again.
We are. Good morning.
A new week.
Hello.
Hello, hello, hello.
How are you?
I'm good. Beautiful day outside. It has been. But we don't really get weather here. I mean, we pretty much have the same day every day.
Yeah.
And that's it. You know, a couple degrees more, a couple less. But
I agree.
But we could use some rain, some weather here.
I'm okay with mind that. I think we are getting rain this week, but the
you
less
think
rain.
So?
Yeah, I think
oh,
there was.
Be nice.
I was looking in the forecast. I mean, you know. Just
yeah. But I don't believe those forecasts.
Like
I mean, sometimes
such an adult. Oh nope, it's disappeared. Thank God.
Sometimes
nope.
I look like three hours ahead, and it says it's going to rain, and it doesn't rain.
No, it's going to be a pretty consistently beautiful week here in sunny Los Angeles.
Yeah, yeah, it doesn't change, and the same with the traffic. The traffic doesn't change. Last night I was driving on the freeway. I must have passed like three accidents, and finally one that caused them to close the freeway. I mean, have you ever been stuck on the freeway where you have to stop
yeah,
and wait?
Yeah, horrific.
Yeah. Thankfully, it was only about 5 minutes. It felt like 20, but and they cleared out the cars, and we were able to go. But I panic at situations like this. You know, it's like there's no way out. You don't know how to get away.
Yeah.
Right? You're stuck.
It's fucked up.
Yeah, to say the least. So, yeah, you know, and so traffic doesn't change in L.A., but what can you do, you know? Did you have an eventful weekend? Anything exciting? Did you have any shows?
What did I do this weekend? I just went to the beach yesterday. Did I have shows? What did I do on Friday? Mm. I can't even remember what Friday was.
That's okay. We'll forgive you, Rachel.
Friday, we were here on Friday. I did something this weekend, but I can't remember what I did.
Okay.
I have shows. I thought I had a show yesterday, but I didn't. Turns out I didn't. You know, I'm getting back from being away, so I'm still adjusting to like what my life is this week. Oh no, I shot with Olivia on Friday after we left. We shot some new videos for The Bud. And yeah,
you guys have cool videos. I watched a couple
yeah,
of them.
Yeah, we have some funny. Some funny new videos coming out. And
where can people see them if they want to?
Go to youtube.com/thebud. I believe it's now labeled or BudFeed, formerly
right.
known as BudFeed. And then, or you can follow me on Wolfie Memes or at BudFeed on Instagram.
Okay.
And we're trying to change. People. We're trying to get consistent with our branding. Here.
Yeah, you gotta, you know.
Listen to our shows here at LA Talk Radio or go on iTunes at The Bud. You can follow and listen there.
There you go. So everywhere you
yeah.
want, there's The Bud, there's Rachel and Olivia coming right at
or
you.
Check me at your local dispensary, probably purchasing marijuana. That is probably true.
Yeah. Do you go to different ones or do you yeah. have a favorite one?
I have different ones that I frequent depending on the strains and
right.
what they have. Yeah.
Right.
But I get like this with food and I think with people too. I become like, not obsessed, but like I will go there every day.
Really?
For like months. And
oh,
then
wow.
one day I'll be like, all right, I'm over it. You
yeah,
know, I do
right.
with shampoos. I do with body washes. I just,
yeah.
you know, switch them
out. You know, it used to be I'd go to dispensaries when it was a little more Wild West here a few years ago. You were able to go and smoke there with the people, you know,
yeah,
inside the
I heard
dispensary.
That. Well, I did take a dab at a dispensary yesterday. I won't name which one. But I will say that there is that still, some of them still have that like kind
yeah,
of
right?
speakeasy element to it
yeah.
but I'm really crushing hard on TLC in East LA and they carry Jungle Boys, which is the greatest.
Oh, you know the guy that's part owner in that is a host here.
Jungle Boys?
No,
TLC. Oh my God, please.
It used to be in Toluca Lake. That's what it's called, Toluca Lake Collective. That's what
really?
TLC stands
okay,
for.
Okay, please
it's
introduce
huge, right?
me to him immediately. I need to just shower him with praise and so much like love for whatever they're making over there because it's the best weed in Los Angeles. It's the best weed
oh,
in Los
really?
Angeles. Hands down.
Wow.
They come out with the craziest strain. My favorite strain that I had never smoked weed like this until
uh-huh.
I smoked Purple Punch, which is Granddaddy Perp crossed with Larry OG. It's a good hybrid, good for nighttime, good for relaxation, just like a really beautiful high. It smells beautiful. It tastes beautiful. When you grind it up, it's like lavender.
Right.
It's just overall a really lovely plant or strain.
Yeah, yeah.
And so whatever they got going on is just like insane.
Good. I'll connect you on Facebook and you can congratulate him in public.
Just send
him
some
love. Took me there. I know when they opened or they moved it, it was a very small place here and he sold the license and now, to a big firm and then they made it so big. It's huge, right? It looks like Costco for...
It really does. And, it's giant. It's in between like a Family Dollar and a CV. It's literally the weirdest. It has a giant parking lot, but you can understand because when they release certain things, which are special edition, and they drop them, they'll have a line out the door.
I saw it when they first opened. It was line around the block. Yeah. I couldn't believe
it. Well, you should see when they go to the festivals, there are hour-long waits just for their bud because people come from all over. Oh, my God. I tried.
That's
I was
amazing.
Like, why am I? I'm
I'll
so
ask
stupid
him about it. Yeah.
For waiting in this line. I could just go to the dispensary.
Wow.
You know? So...
Yeah, sounds good. You know? I mean, that's good. I think one thing that... one mistake that some dispensaries make is not rotate their strains, But at any rate, we're not really a marijuana show, and we all know that, so we can leave more of that for the bud. You guys can listen to Rachel and Olivia
Thursdays. We'll be here Thursdays. On Thursday. We have a cool guest this Thursday. He's a big memer on Instagram at Weed420Memes, so...
Okay, sounds good.
Yeah,
so if you guys want more of that. Today we have an awesome guest. We're going to bring her on in just a minute. And we're going to talk about some heavy stuff, but things that are relevant, I think, especially in light of what's in the news lately.
Yeah.
Did you hear about this Air Asia plane? It plummeted 20,000 feet. Okay. Now, let me explain to you what happened. I guess there was a pressure problem in the cabin. So that's what pilots do. They're supposed to go down to 10,000 feet as quickly as possible. But what happened is the crew started screaming and being, they looked tearful and shocked. So where people are saying there was no panic before, after the crew started freaking out, everybody was panicking. So... So just think about that one for a second. You know, they're supposed to comfort you and to calm you down.
So what happened?
The plane survived, obviously. But because they live to tell about it. But
I mean, that's scary, but there's so much terrible things going on in the world.
I know, but to go 20,000 feet.
That's frightening. I mean, that also is, I feel like there's some of the, like, they have rides like that at the... fairs and stuff, where you just like your stomach drops. I did one of those rides and I was like, I'll never do that again. Why did I do this?
But in a tin can above the ocean, whatever. No, I wouldn't.
But was it above the ocean?
Probably. I don't know where it was, but I guess it doesn't really matter. You're going to hit the ground one way or another, right?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, folks, we're going to move on. We're going to bring in our guest right now who's sitting here patiently. And she's like, why are they talking about marijuana so much? What show did I fall into? We're joined by Frida Farrow. Welcome to the show, Frida.
Thank you, Sam. Thank you, Rachel.
Of course. Thank you for joining us. You obviously have a European accent, right? Or what am I detecting there?
Sweden.
Ah. Okay, so it's European. You see, I didn't take a chance with naming a country because I wasn't sure.
Good.
You were speaking with the gentleman that came with you. You guys were speaking Swede?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Very interesting because I couldn't pinpoint what language it was. Because I haven't heard Swede that much,
Okay.
But
I had a Swedish friend growing up. Her name was Emily, and her mom Susan was like a singer or like married some royal man an actor in Sweden. Her name was Susan Vex. Her mom, and her name was Emily Lind, and they were like the only Swedish people I ever knew.
Really?
Yeah, and they were Jewish, which was cool.
many Jewish people in Sweden. Do you know?
I guess there are Jewish people, yes.
Everywhere, right?
Yeah. But she, the man that was Swedish who she married was not Jewish. He was like an actor in Sweden.
Oh, nice, nice. How many people live there, do you know?
About 9 million.
9 million, so it's a big country, I mean, relatively speaking, right?
Big in comparison to what, L.A.?
No, to
LA is it's the same. It's the same.
LA is 4 million.
It's the same size as California. No, then
yeah, pretty much. Not the same amount of people, but the same size.
Oh, okay. Oh, wait. Is it? But how many people are in California? Oh, it's 9 million who are in. How many people live?
We
in
have
California?
Four in 4 million in LA County. California, no, this is, I don't know.
Yeah.
We need to find that out. We'll look it up later. Mm-hmm. But at any rate, but it doesn't feel as big as the U.S., obviously. I mean, now, countries around it, we have, so you have Denmark and Norway and Finland and all that. Is the culture similar in these countries, or does each country have, like, a distinct culture?
No, it's pretty similar.
Really?
But each country still have a distinct thing that they do.
Right.
But, yeah.
That's true. You guys make Volvos, right? That's all
and
I know.
And Swedish fish.
Right.
Yes.
But
Ikea,
the
H&M.
Group. Yeah. ABBA, right?
Mm-hmm. Ooh, yeah. I loved ABBA.
Yeah, yeah. The Swedish. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you guys exported a lot of cool stuff for sure.
Yeah, a lot of music.
I mean, nice. IKEA for sure. Is
yeah. So where in Sweden did you grow up? Was it a big city, small town?
I mean, not huge. Malmö, so it's the third biggest city in Sweden.
Okay, so it's not a village, but it's a...
No.
Okay. Did you have any siblings growing up? I mean, do you have any brothers, sisters?
Younger brother, younger sister.
Oh, nice. So you're the oldest.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
I rule the house.
Yeah, right? So what was your childhood like? I mean, was it pretty normal or what was it like, you know, for you? Was it easy for you growing up?
I mean, yeah, I lived right in the middle of the center and you could walk everywhere and bicycle everywhere
right.
And you don't really need a car.
Right. And as far as friends, family, I mean, did you fit in school and everything? Everything felt fine?
I think so.
That's cool. I don't know. I'm looking for like some people.
Did I fit in?
No, no, because some people have like shitty childhoods, you know. I mean, you later on in your life, you started experiencing what the world is really like. But essentially, you were an innocent girl growing up.
It's a safe place.
It's a safe place, right?
Yeah,
yeah. Aren't they pretty? They're very liberal there, though, right? They're very open and stuff. Like what? Like sexuality and stuff. They're very open about it.
About most things: politics, religion, sexuality.
Right. Yeah. I just remember sexuality because it was a big deal when I went to Denmark. I must have been 16 years old, so that or 15, and that was in the 70s.
Uh-oh.
And I mean. Yeah, so, you know, going from a very conservative Israel to a place like Denmark to Copenhagen, and you see all these sex shops there and everything and live shows and stuff, I went like, wow, you know. As a kid, you know, getting excited about these things.
No, of course.
But I'm sure now it's a lot cleaner and everything. Things have changed quite a bit from the 70s.
Yeah, it has.
So you grew up there. Did you, after high school, did you decide to go to college? What did
no,
you decide
I
to do?
No, I didn't do college. I left 3 weeks after I graduated and I was 18. I left and I went to, where did I go? I went to Germany for a bit and then I went to live in Paris for 2 years.
So at 18, you got up and left pretty much? I mean,
yeah.
After high school, right?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. What made you want to move?
I thought, oh my God, Sweden is so small.
Yeah, right? It felt small.
Right?
Yeah.
So you moved out to Germany?
Mm-hmm.
And where in Germany did you live?
I was in Hamburg for about seven months.
6 months. And what made you decide that of all places?
Well, I was modeling a little bit at the time, so they had a lot of work. And
in Germany?
Yeah, in Germany.
Oh.
Good money. So
very
I was like,
interesting, yeah. And you're tall, right? How tall are you?
I'm 5'9". I'm not that tall.
Tall. But no. I don't know. You appear tall to me. You know why? Because you sit next to the microphone. Most people sit there under the microphone.
Most people aren't tall.
I think here more people are tall than not, wouldn't you say?
Mm-hmm.
In America. In America in general. Americans are tall, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, look at me. I'm 5'8", and I feel short here, you know. But in most...
But I feel like Swedish people are tall.
Yeah, they're very tall,
and, people
right?
over...
It's like you think the Vikings and everything, right?
Oh, yeah.
They're all, beautiful and, fully
all
grown.
All are beautiful,
But they all, they all have really pretty hair and pretty eyes, you know? And
that's
super
true.
Tall.
Yeah.
Even the ugly ones are beautiful.
What an observation. Okay, we'll go with that.
You know? Their ugliest people would be supermodels here.
Right.
It's so true. They would hand out modeling contracts.
But isn't Scandinavia, like all these countries, considered like some of the happiest places in the world? I mean, when they do studies, I read that North Europeans are really the
happiest. It depends how far north you go. Because
really?
If you go like above Stockholm and up, there's another two-thirds of the country above the capital city. And if you live all the way at the very top, you only have 2 hours of sunlight during the day.
Right.
In the winter.
In the winter. In the summer, you barely have any night time.
You have no nights at all.
No nights.
So that can also screw with you.
Right.
That's how it was in Ireland.
Mm-hmm. Oh, in Ireland? Yeah, yeah, yeah. I remember when we were in Copenhagen, actually, it was there was daylight until 10 o'clock p.m. or something. You know?
In Ireland,
that was
it was
weird,
like 11:30, and I'm like, I don't understand.
Still wearing sunglasses.
Right?
Yeah, I just don't.
I would love that because I like daylight, you know, but then the winters would be very difficult.
No wonder people drink so much. You just never go to bed. There's no
party all the time.
You drink because you need something else.
You need to keep you warm, too.
Yeah.
Wow, how weird is that, huh? Because the Earth is a sphere and that it's tilted, you know? Mm-hmm. Amazing.
What did flat earthers say about that?
I don't know what they say.
They obviously have never been to that.
Are there any left? I mean,
B.O.B., the music artist, is like starting. He like started a GoFundMe or some weird campaign about. Yeah, there's a strong community online of social media. Not strong. What would you call strong? But there are people who believe the Earth is still flat.
No.
Yeah,
I don't know where they live.
Are you kidding? Look, it's just so easy to make people believe anything, I feel like, now with the internet, you know? Just like, you can capture so many. People are just mostly dumb.
And gullible, a lot of gullible people, for sure. So Sweden, a very unique place, I think, and considered one of the happiest. I remember that because there was more than one study that I read that said that. So happy people, we'd love to have you.
Thank you.
Okay, so then from Germany, so you modeled a little bit, and then you decided to move to where? France, did you say?
And then I moved to Paris. I continued modeling a little bit more.
Uh-huh.
And then
was it better there for you as far as modeling? I mean, why did you move from Hamburg?
Well, no, Hamburg was fine. I just wanted something more romantic.
Oh, really? Okay,
like
so
her.
You want romance, you go
She's
to Paris,
funny.
Right?
Yeah, I figured.
Wow, very cool. And so you did modeling there. And how long did you live there in Paris?
On and off for 2 years.
2 years?
Mm-hmm.
On and off, so you moved back and forth
and
stuff?
Well, you know, I was traveling a little bit. I went to Italy for a little bit. I went to South France, you know.
Oh,
like,
wow.
Travel
so
around.
You see, so you're adventurous. I mean, and in Europe you can do that, right? Because it's inexpensive and easy to go from one place
so
to
close.
Another. And close,
yeah.
too,
yeah.
right?
I mean, you can drive it, but, you know, usually it's like an hour and a half flight away.
Right, and then the trains mm-hmm. and everything, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like here, you know, everybody flies here, you know.
It's a huge country.
Yeah, hmm. I know. But there's a lot of places to see too. But that's true. But Europe is nice, you know. Have you been to Europe yet?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Where did you go?
Ireland, Greece.
That's right. You mentioned Ireland. Yeah, Greece is nice. Mm-hmm. Where in Greece did you go?
Nauplion, Athens, Olympia.
Very cool.
Other places, the islands.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, Greece is beautiful.
I studied abroad in both places.
You what?
I studied abroad.
Oh, you studied.
Yeah.
Wow, how cool is that, man?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would have loved to study abroad, but you know what I did? At 16, I came out here.
I was
what
bar
the hell,
mitzvahed
right?
in Israel. I know that's the Middle East, but I've traveled abroad. That's like Latin America, Costa Rica. Yeah.
Yeah, so yeah.
Ireland was the most European I ever got.
Yeah,
I thought that was such a great place. And they really love American people there. They like American women, at least. At least to me.
They love
Americans.
They
seem that they liked me.
Yeah.
So,
just like you.
Yeah, I think they liked me. And I liked them back. I thought Irish people were amazing and lovely.
And I got to tell you, when I go abroad, I see American people. I think they're very cool. I don't know why we have that reputation of the tourist, you know, and the rowdy tourist or whatever. But I don't see that, you know. I mean, Americans feel together when they're
abroad. But they're quite loud.
Yeah.
When they go traveling, I mean, if you have, if you go to a European restaurant, everyone kind of talks within themselves. And
right.
I just think that's true for your experience. I have very much witnessed obnoxious Americans in other countries.
Really?
And they do exist, especially like young college kids who go abroad who have mommy and daddy's money and no morals or values or respect.
Yeah, I guess young people, you're right. Yeah. Well, you know what, you know, it's, look, you've got this everywhere, you know, and that's just what happens, you know. So you traveled quite a bit in Europe, so then did you decide to settle down anywhere? Finally, I mean, you were moving around a lot.
I went
did
to
you
London.
Have a desire to settle down?
I did have a desire to settle down. Eventually, I moved to London. And
London.
I was there for I think just over 5 years.
Okay.
I went to school, drama school in London.
Oh wow!
Yeah.
What was it called?
Central School of Speech and Drama.
Oh, cool. So you decided you want to go from modeling, you decided you're going to take a step forward, do acting and stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
So was that, how did you become attracted to acting? I mean, did you always have the desire?
Yeah, I always loved it. I think all the way from when I was a kid, my grandmother was a huge, she was organizing tours to go, I mean, like big buses to take people to theaters around the country, and she was very much a theater person, so that's what I wanted to do.
Right. Wow, that's very cool. I often fantasize about being an actor, but I never felt I could be one, and to this day I don't think I could be one. I don't think I could be anybody other than myself, you know. So there you go. That's why I'm not an actor. But
it's a fear. We tell ourselves we can't do things.
Yeah, that's true. I never really tried, I guess, right? But
I think that's what it is people just are too afraid to try and even fail at the things that they could be good at. Like,
yeah.
I got into comedy not because I knew right away I was going to be an amazing comedian. I did it because, one, I liked it and knew that I could be an amazing comedian if I just worked really hard at it.
Right.
So, and I think that, but I think that's with a lot of people. They just settle for...
Plus, you learn, right?
Yeah, like
I mean, people. You go to school to learn.
You could have been a great actor.
Probably.
You still could if you want it. I mean, if you actually were like, I want to do it. But you,
right,
I mean, if you really put your mind, look at what you created with this radio station.
Look, everything I do is either perfect or I don't do it. You know, so there you go. I agree with you.
You know?
I agree. But yeah,
I saw that picture with you and your dads. You guys, your family. You guys could have been like the man Kardashians back in the day, like. The Jewish male Kardashians.
I posted a picture on Facebook from like 1986 or something, you know, with my brothers and my dad.
Wow.
And we look so young, you know. I mean,
of course.
My dad looked younger than I am now, mm-hmm. you know. But anyway,
was he younger than you are now? Or?
I'm trying to remember. He would have been, I think so. Yeah, however you look at it, he was younger than I am now. But at any rate... So back to Frida. By the way, if you're just joining us, we're joined by actress Frida Farrell, and you'll find out she's a lot more than just an actress. She's actually produced a film, and we're going to get to that. And so I feel we're getting close.
Slowly
we're getting there. But so at after school, so did you prefer like theater, film? You prefer theater, right?
I prefer theater.
And that's amazing because many actors say that. It's like, why do you think? Is it that you're live in front of an audience?
I think, well, it's a lot of different things. For me, it was that you go from A to Z in the play. If you do a play, you don't suddenly shoot something or do something in the middle
that's
and then
true.
The end and then the beginning.
Right.
When you film, you're all over the place depending on where you can shoot that day. So... For me,
it's more mechanical, right? It's more like technical, where you're not telling the story every time,
mm-hmm.
and that makes a lot of sense. Now I hear you.
Yeah.
So you get to tell the whole story.
Yeah, it's
in
easier.
One evening. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's good because you don't get a second take.
Yeah. Right.
So you're really on your toes.
Yeah. Right. Wow. So did you find any good place to start out after school?
Yeah, I did. I found some different theater companies that I joined and did small plays, all of them unpaid, of course.
Yeah. Well, but at least they give you a chance, right?
Yeah.
As a beginner.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
And so you get to practice a little bit there and stuff.
Yep.
And
then I started my own company, my own theater company.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Why did you do that? I mean, did you feel you
because
weren't...
Because I didn't want to sit back and wait for these companies to hire me. And I was like, well, I'll just do my own thing and then hire people to help me out.
Is it out here?
No.
Oh, okay.
That was in London.
Yeah, she was in London still, right? Mm-hmm. And so that's amazing because you had this business sense as well. You wanted to do your own thing. And, you know, that's what we've noticed a lot about many guests we have here. And many people in today's world is in this industry, too, where it's so competitive. You got to do your own thing, right? If you can't find what you want out there, if people won't give you the opportunity,
I think more
start
so
your
than,
own thing.
Yeah, I think more so... as millennials and as people like, well, you kind of did that too, but I think more so as society
Absolutely,
has gone on and,
yeah.
you know, those office jobs and those factory jobs and,
right.
you know, we also, I think we're a lot more of a creative generation than maybe we have been in the past because we've been forced to have to think outside the box when it comes to making money.
Right.
So, I think that, you know, especially as women, which it's hard to be in any industry, we are forced to create, you know, what wasn't there.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. No, that's true. You know, I mean, it's almost like you have to work twice as hard to prove yourself mm-hmm. or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it's very true, especially, of course, like we were saying, there's a lot of themes that are going on in current society and today's current events or whatever. But, you know, you saw how hard it is just to get to the top. And then when you get to the top, you know, there's still some person, usually a man with a big, powerful, you know.
I thought you were going to say a big belly.
with a big belly. That's implied. Usually
too,
it comes
probably.
With the power, comes the belly. It's the power belly.
Right.
You know, who's just going to, you know, take everything you've worked for and treat you as a sex object or something, right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, so we're going to get to your story because we're pretty much at the point now where you started working with people, right? Looking for people to work with and stuff. And you created a movie about your experiences, right?
Yes.
Okay. So now, how old were you at the time? What are we talking about now at the time that things started turning sour for you?
Oh, you mean when
your incident
happened? I was about 24.
You were 24. What were you doing at the time? You were in London. You had your own company at that point?
No, I was still in school.
Oh, you were still in school.
So I was just on my end, like, of school. So
I see. Okay, so you started your own company after you went through a big trauma.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we sort of, like, skipped right over it.
Yes.
Okay, so we need to go back right to school or after?
Well, it's around the end of school. So
around the end of school. Okay, tell us what happened.
So I was walking home one night in London and was approached by a photographer who said, hey, I'm looking for someone. I'm holding a casting. I'm looking for someone to do this and this job. And I was like, okay. And having come from the industry, it wasn't like, how weird, you know, because you get approached a lot. When you work as a model abroad, you get approached by photographers and agents and all kinds of things. So,
really?
Well, can I just say, just to interject really quickly, this is a normal thing. And there was a thread on Twitter that I did read, and it is very true. And it's in more than just the entertainment industry, but usually specifically in the entertainment industry, they were like, how can all of these women, you know, go up to a hotel room? Well, in the entertainment industry, a lot of meetings and are held in hotel rooms. They don't want, you know, people, like, they don't want news to break out that someone's already been casted before it's happened because they're meeting in a public place. So oftentimes it's normal to have meetings in a hotel room. Like, that's just, you know, for, you know, entertainers, actors, models, comedians, whatever it is, like, that's just the entertainment.
Or someone's house.
Or even someone's house. It's very common for that to happen. And mm-hmm. that's why, you know, it's such an unfair dynamic because, I mean, and they were even saying oftentimes people, you never even see a bed because they rent out the giant suites and it's like business-like
environment,
so,
right? So go on. So this guy walked up to you and he said, now, so you had been used to that before? I mean, you've been approached before and
that's
everything.
Normal.
Right. So you didn't think it was a big deal or anything.
No.
In London is a place where a lot of this happens.
I mean,
as far as photography and
it was an Oxford Circus where there's about a million people every day that
walk
through H&M, Topshop, all that stuff. So yeah, I mean, a guy. I was like, yeah, okay. So he gave me his card, and he said, you know, we're holding casting tomorrow if you want to come by. And I was like, great, yeah, sure. I took his card. I went home, and you looked up what I could look up. I mean, you know, back then there wasn't so easy as it is
right.
now.
No social media.
Google someone. No, exactly. But right. he still had a website, which was I thought it looked really good.
Right, legitimate.
Yeah, and you know, I thought, okay, great, I'll go along to the casting, and I did.
Right, and so you went casting for. For what? For still pictures? For video?
Still pictures.
Still pictures, mm-hmm. right? So he was like, what, a fashion photographer
yeah,
or something?
Yeah, that's what he said, yeah.
That's what he said. Mm-hmm. So you went there. Where did you meet him?
So he said, come to this place. His address is in Harley Street. It's a very like expensive, exclusive area in London. Not usually for castings, but for doctors. And I was like, oh, that's for me and my... Well, that sounds safe. Good. He said, yeah, about noon tomorrow. So great. So I went along and... It was super simple. There was he had a backdrop. There was fruit. There was, you know, like how a studio should look like. There was a girl assistant. And yeah, I mean, it looked very legit. Took some pictures and he said, okay, we'll let you know if the client likes you.
Right.
Great. And I left.
Right. And did he pay you for the session?
No, no. That was just like a test. Yeah,
oh, really?
Yeah, like a test.
Oh, I see. And if the client yeah. likes it, then mm-hmm. they
it's
hire
a call,
you
get a callback or mm-hmm. whatever.
Right. Did yeah. you get a callback?
Yes. I got
wow.
a call back.
How long after?
The next day.
The next day. Mm-hmm. And you were excited and everything. Obviously,
of course.
I got
it's
the
a lot
job.
Of money.
A lot of money for that job.
Yeah.
Wow. Did you know who the client was going to be at the time?
He said Harley Davidson.
Ah.
I mean, they so have nothing to do with that. Let me just say.
Right.
They you know, he
they
just
have
used
nothing
their name.
To do with this.
No.
Right. So at this point, you were still feeling everything's fine. Everything is legit.
Yeah.
Everything is cool. You didn't feel threatened or anything at all.
No, he was very much a non-threatening person.
Right. Was he a British guy?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. So, wow.
With
so
a lovely British accent.
Yeah, yeah. So everything is legit right now. At this point, you're going... You know, there's nothing to worry
Seems
about.
Plausible,
I
got it. Yeah.
Yeah, just like if you lived here and somebody give you a call 100%. Back.
100%. That's what's the worst part about it is men know, or men, but people, the men that have preyed on women full on know what they're doing and they know the what they have working for them in their favor. And it's sick what happened. I mean, I don't know your story, but. It just
right.
seems, you know, the calculations and knowing what they can use to their advantage because of the positions that they're in. And it just is sad.
Mm. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But you guys are going to actually shudder at Frida's story as we get into it. The thing is this. The amazing thing is we're going to talk about it and then you guys can see it on film. Frida, you're a producer. You produced your own film based on your experience.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I can't imagine how you would be able to relive that, but let's just go back a little bit and find out at what point did you decide, did you realize things were wrong? So you went back
Wait,
for
keep,
the second
I
time.
I want to hear, keep going for the, keep. The
yeah, yeah. So she
keep
went.
Going.
Yeah, yeah. No, but so you went back and you did the shoot and everything. And what happened after that?
Well, I did the test shoot
right.
at home. He called me, then he said, can you come tomorrow at this and the time? I said, yeah, great.
Right.
And now I'm already thinking, I'm not thinking anything is wrong because I've been there. I know the place. There
exactly.
was a girl in there. You know, it looked like a photographer's. It looked like it's an apartment, but made into a studio. With
right.
the big backdrop and the coffee and the tea and all that stuff.
Right.
So I knew
what kind
where
of neighborhood?
Was
it like in a main street or something? Or
so it's in Harley Street, right okay. behind Oxford Circus.
So it is behind Oxford. So it's a, yeah, okay. So it's not like an obscure neighborhood
at all.
At all.
No, no, no.
Okay.
Not at all.
Okay.
Very fancy.
Right. So you went back.
Yeah, so I went back, knocked on the door. He opened the door, super happy, let me in, and then locked the door behind.
And what did you, I mean, but was it, oh, and yeah, I guess that's not like an ordinary thing.
So, okay,
right?
So that freaked you out. You noticed he locked
well,
the door.
He locked the door, knocked one door, then he locked another lock, and he locked a third lock with a key and put
oh.
the key in his pocket.
Okay, so that's fucked up.
And at that
yeah,
point,
so
at
I'm
that
like,
point, you were like,
well, yeah, I just looked at the locks and I'm like, wait, so slowly, like, I felt like it took minutes, but probably seconds. But in my mind going, the last lock, I can't open that. How
right.
am I supposed to get out?
Right.
Yeah. Wow. Like the realization, like.
So immediately you walked in that door and you walked into hell.
Pretty much.
Pretty much. Okay, so what happened at that point now? I mean, let's not get into the details so much because I want people to watch the movie. It's like the drama about it, what you don't expect and everything. Mm-hmm. But
wait, but I want to know.
Keep going. No, we will.
I need to know.
but that's why we're telling the story, but that's why I don't want to even tell them the name of the film yet because it's sort of going to give away the story. So we'll get to how people can watch it. You got awards, all that stuff, or, you know, whatever. But you were in the festival. So obviously, profound story that you have. And if you're just joining us, thank you for listening. We'll be back tomorrow with the second half of the story. No, I'm kidding. It's just like such a captivating story that...
Keep going.
Okay, so at that point, you're like, you see the door's locked. Did you turn around, look at him, and just wonder what's going on?
He didn't do anything. He was behind me. He walked around me, walked away from me down the hallway towards the living room, the main room, and he pulled out a knife.
Ah.
But he didn't threaten me with a knife. He just walked away with it, making sure I saw it. I was like, okay, what the...
Yeah, what the fuck's going on?
I didn't want to swear, right. But yeah.
So was it a big place?
It was a two-bedroom apartment.
Two-bedroom apartment. So it wasn't that big, really. So he walked around with a knife away from you.
Mm-hmm.
And then what? He came back with a knife?
No, and then I said, I just kind of froze where I was standing. And I said, I need to use the restroom.
Right.
And he goes, yeah, you know where it is. Because the day before I had used it when I came in. So he goes, yeah, you know where it is.
Why did you want to do that? Just to gather your thoughts and everything? Or I mean, that would probably be a worse thing to do, no? To go into the bathroom and...
I mean, you know...
But you could protect yourself by locking yourself in or something.
That's probably what I was thinking.
Right.
The thing is, people... You see so many movies where like, a girl gets captured and she's, like, freaking out and slamming the walls and... That doesn't happen in real life. In real life, you literally freeze.
You're in shock, right?
And if someone has a weapon, what you try to do is like, if I the less I do, the less likely he will use the weapon.
Mm.
So if I stop banging on things and screaming, he's obviously going to come at me, try and make
I
stop.
I hear you. So you just like
you're in survival mode.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It's yeah. Wow.
Like if you take a bird. And, you know, they kind of, if they feel threatened or any animal, you sort of freeze.
Right. Mm-hmm. Wow. So you froze. Did you end up going to the bathroom?
I did.
You did. You locked the door probably?
Yes.
You did. And what were you thinking? Were you thinking, how the fuck am I getting out of here
now? Yes. And I tried to look in the bathroom of how I could get out. But there was a tiny window and I thought I can probably squeeze through it. I mean, literally like... You know.
Yeah.
But there was 5 stories down.
Oh my God.
Into concrete little yard.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Well, that's not an option.
And did you start, like in your mind, did you start thinking that there's imminent danger here? What is going to happen to me next?
Yeah, of course.
So you were focused on how to get out, but were you thinking the worst? That he's going to kill
obviously.
You or something?
Yeah, you know,
yeah.
I didn't know.
You didn't understand why it was happening though,
yeah.
Or anything.
No.
Okay, so keep going, please. I need to hear more.
Well, before I went to the bathroom, he said, leave your phone on the floor. And I was like...
Was he threatening with a knife at that point when he said that?
He wasn't like, the knife in my face. He just held it down by his
He side. Held it, and at that point, he said, leave your phone.
Mm-hmm.
And, okay.
And so I was in the toilet with no phone. Otherwise, obviously, the first thing you do is you try and...
You call.
Yeah. But
so you were afraid you just did what he said?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Okay, so you went into the bathroom without a phone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Then what? How did he? How did you end up getting out?
He knocked on the door and banged on the door and said, "Open the door." So I opened the door and then he gave me a bag of used underwear and he said, "Put these on." And I was like, "That's not really what this photo shoot was about."
Right? Did you tell him that?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. What did he say at that point? At a certain point, you realize that things have turned very bad.
Yeah.
What point?
At that point. I mean, at the point when he locked the key with the key, then
right.
That's when I was like, okay, this is not how it should be.
Right, right.
Yeah.
But you didn't realize, I mean, once he has a knife to you and everything, and he brings the underwear, you're going, wait a minute, I walked into a totally fucked up world at this point.
Yeah, and you still sort of think, if I go along with what he asks, maybe he won't use the knife.
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of what goes through your head the whole time, because the last thing you want is for him to use that knife.
Right.
And that becomes like your target for the whole thing is like, oh my God, the knife.
Yeah, And it becomes your focus the whole time.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So you did pretty much what he told you to do, because you were afraid to be stabbed and killed.
Yeah.
Wow. Gee, I mean, how do you behave so... I mean, you can't plan something like this, you know? And then when you totally surprised Rachel, I mean...
Plan what?
Like how to get out of something like this.
Yeah.
That you'd get into a situation like this in the first place.
I know.
Wow. So what happened then? Now you're totally trapped in there. It's only you and him, and he's got a knife.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got no weapon to defend yourself. The phone, you don't have the phone now, right? No. On you?
No.
Wow. Totally defenseless. Totally defenseless.
I even looked at trying to get the toilet seat, the toilet cover up.
Right.
I couldn't get it up. I was trying to be really quiet, but I couldn't get it up. I could, like, you know, surprise him or something.
Wow, how scary, man. You must have been terrified.
Mm-hmm.
Terrified.
Yeah.
Terrified.
Yeah.
Do we want to continue the story, or should we let people watch the movie?
I think she should tell us more, right?
There's a lot more to tell. We only have 10 minutes left. And I really want to tease this movie. I mean, do you want to give away more? You should give away as much of the story as you want, right?
I mean, the movie is about this woman, and then about my story, what happened in real life. And then it's about what happens to her and her survival and how she gets out. And so it's, you know, I'd like to say that it is a happy ending because I'm sitting here.
Yes, so, yes.
You know, but yeah, it's. I'm not going to tell everything about the film, but it's about her journey for a couple of days in there. And
wow.
We chose to shoot it so that you never leave the girl. So you feel the same claustrophobic feeling that she had
right.
All the way through.
The whole time.
Yeah, because usually in films you cut away from someone looking for the person and you know, but we didn't.
Right.
We stay in that. So you literally sit there and like you get claustrophobic, which was our intention.
Yeah, which is the way you felt.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, yeah. Totally suffocating.
And I think the name of the movie does give away something that's good. It's called Selling Isabel. So that's what he did. I didn't know at the time that he was going to do that. I thought maybe he's a crazy person, he's going to kill me. He kept like, please don't kill me, don't hurt me. But I didn't realize then that he was intending to sell me. So that's like the big...
Did he go to prison?
No, they didn't never found him.
They never found him. Wow.
Wow.
So do you think he's out there still doing it?
I hope not, but I don't know.
Wow.
Does he know you? Like your name?
Yeah, he knows my name.
Would he know where to find you?
I don't know. I mean, he was in London.
Why would he want to anyway at this point, right?
Mm.
Yeah, I mean, why would he want to?
But did you go to the authorities and give him like a description and everything?
Yeah.
And like it seemed, he probably has done this before, you know?
I think so, because it was pretty well thought through.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
Right.
It seems like this
was a
successful trafficking business.
Yeah. But so the last few minutes, we only have a few minutes really left. The movie is Selling Isabel, Isobel. Why Isabel? What? How did you come up with the name?
It's my middle name.
Oh, really?
Like
pretty name. Now, I just wanted to bring up how relevant this is to today's headlines, you know? And you actually went through like the worst a woman can go through. You know, short of like dying. I mean, you would think it would have killed your soul. You know what I'm saying? And the fact that you're here and you're able to tell the story and actually made a film about it came out stronger than ever.
I mean, I wasn't a strong friend. I was silent for 10 years. I didn't say anything to anyone.
Wow.
So it took a long time to get to the point where I can talk about it.
Right.
Where I'm not.
Did you, were you fortunate enough to seek out therapy and things like that?
Yeah, I did.
Right. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Every woman that you know has been sexually abused or harassed or, you know, kidnapped to put into potential sex trafficking. Isn't that scary?
I mean, I did this film. I wasn't going to do this film. I was too scared. But I did this film with one intention of trying to help other young women. So if they see the film, if they can hear the story, if they can have more, they can be more cautious, then that's, if I can just help one more woman, then my job is done. Because I met some other young, 18-year-olds came up to me and they saw the film. They're like, oh my God, I go to auditions all the time, people's houses.
Did they ever go to that person's house?
Mm-hmm.
And they never found the guy?
It was an apartment. So it was an apartment that was rented by the week, furnished.
Right. It was all thought out, like she said. Yeah. Yeah.
And they probably paid in cash. She probably didn't use a real name.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, that was part of your journey, I guess, in this lifetime, right?
I guess.
I mean,
yeah.
you had to go through something so profound and traumatic, so you'd be able to tell your story. You can get the attention you need to tell the story, because this is exactly what people need to watch right now. You know, with all
sadly,
this that's
though,
happening in the news,
there've been these stories.
You know,
and
this is an extreme.
We know that these things happen, but you know, for whatever reason, for the most part, we tend to turn a blind eye. Like, it's not that we turn a blind eye, but like, maybe this time around things will change. We'd like to hope, because, you know, we have a predator in office right now, a guy who's known to sexually harass women and abuse them and attack them. He's our president. We give out Academy Awards to men who are known to be sexual abusers. We let them play professional sports for millions and millions of dollars. So, I mean, this is a very appropriate film for such a relevant time in history. And it's, that's really strong of you to
time to stop looking at women as objects and, you know, that you can sell and trade. And so how long is the film?
It's an hour and a half. It's
a full
94.
Feature.
Yeah.
You were able to really tell the story. Do you show a bigger picture of this? Like, because you deal, obviously, with sex trafficking and all that stuff. Do you deal with it in a bigger picture in the film, or just, is it just her story the whole hour? And
no, it's just her story.
Just her story. Mm-hmm. Wow. Mm-hmm. So it's pretty heavy, this
film.
Yeah,
it's intense.
It's intense.
Yeah.
Wow. How long did it take you to make it?
6 years.
6 years. Do you feel it was therapeutic for you to have to go through it again? No?
That's a heavy question. I mean, I guess, I think in some ways it was.
Yeah.
But not, I wasn't thinking about it at the time, but I think it probably had, I think it was.
Yeah. Well, you know, everything's a lesson in life, I guess, you know. Like I said, everybody's got their journey. And in the light of adversity, you were able to create.
Yeah, but
things,
like you said,
know?
I think that it's a relevant time because women are getting their voices heard more and more so.
Right.
Well, I mean, I think there's power in numbers. I think this is the part of social media that is good because, you know, I mean, it's really powerful and also disheartening to see. I mean, every woman you know has been sexually harassed as a woman. Men get sexually harassed by other men, by women. Yeah. I mean, it's just mainly by men.
Mainly by men.
Yeah,
by
men.
We all
I mean,
know that. It's a
I mean,
problem.
It's made and I hope the hope is though that, you know, things start to change, but as history is told, you know, history repeats itself and, you know, it's hard to change people and society. It's almost like we're set up from birth as women to be objectified. And I mean, look at the images that we see in the media and what girls, you know, in the movies, and it is our responsibility. It lies in us as society, but at the same time, I mean, it starts at home. It starts with education. It starts with parents, you know, raising, yeah. teaching their kid. If that person had a mother or father that beat his ass, you know, or not beat his ass, but like taught him how to be a person, mm-hmm. obviously something went wrong somewhere.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we got to wrap up, folks. The movie is Selling Isabel. Tell people, can we see it? Well, I know at least the trailer is on YouTube, right?
The trailer is on YouTube. It's going to be released really soon, and I'll keep you updated about it. We're doing a few more festivals, and then it's going to come hit the market either on Amazon or Netflix or cinema, hopefully. Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah. Awesome.
Where can people find you on social media? I'm going to look you up.
Frida Farrell on Facebook or The Frida Farrell on Instagram.
How do I spell your last name?
F-A-R-R-E-L-L. First name is F-R-I-D-A.
I found you.
Yay.
Sounds good. So what's
is
in
that
the
your baby? Mm-hmm. Oh, and she's got a cute little girl.
Yes, yeah, I have a new
you'll,
job
you'll
now.
Get to meet her outside after the show. She came to visit us too. All right, Frida, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Sam. Thank you, Rachel.
Thank you for speaking about
this.
What a
tremendous person.
You're
what
a survivor.
Yes, a courageous human being. And we thank you for joining us this morning.
Thank you very much.
What a story. Everybody go out, check out the movie, at least the trailer. And so I guess if we follow you, we'll find out where we can see the movie when it
Absolutely.
Comes out.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Sounds good. All right, Rachel, thank you. Thanks, everybody, for listening. And we'll see you tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Rachel, exclusively on LA Talk Radio.